We begin Parshas Bamidbar and Sefer Bamidbar. And the opening of Parshas Bamidbar, we have a well-known census count that Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded to take of the Jewish people. He is told, Suus Rosh Kaldas Bnei Yisrael, Mishpach Osam, Vesav Osam, Mishpar, Shemos Kol Zachar, Ligilul Osam. Count all the Jews. Benesu Mishan Alamala, 20 years and up. Why are we counting again? This is what, second or third census now in the desert. Famous Rashi, that Hashem is counting them again to show his chavivus, his love of the Jewish people. Each time he counts them, it shows how much he cares about them. Are there extra sheets?
Yeah.
In the back. So, there's a funny phrase at the end of Pasuk Beis. You should count the people who would give Osam. It really defies absolute translation. I took a look at the article today. I think it said head count, something like that. It's kind of a weird word. But what does Rashi say? What does it really mean? For practical purposes, what's in essence of the meaning? Said Rashi, the give Osam al yidei shkalim. They didn't count the people, but everyone gave a shekel, and they counted, or half a shekel, and they counted the coins. So where does Rashi get this from? Rashi's getting this from Parshas Kitisa and Shmos Perek Lamed, which was the original time we were told of Kitisa and Shmos Perek Lamed, you should count everybody. And there it's explicit, V'nosnu ish kofar nafshar, everyone has to somehow redeem or ransom their neshama, there's some kind of a kapara through it, and they give this this shekel, as it says, the machzisa shekel in the next pasuk, yidim. Now what's interesting is that here we don't just have this idea of a kofar, but specifically there, Rashi, the pasuk is below yibahem negev, that if you count them this way, there won't be a plague. Rashi there says, because otherwise, haminyan, if you would count people directly, sholeit on bo ayin hara. To count people is an ayin hara. The idea, apparently you see from the psukim that it's usher to count people directly, is that somehow it is an ayin hara. Other mafarshim say it's an issue of gaiva. Ooh, look how important you think are. You think you are. Others say it's an issue of yachid versus tzibor, meaning to say, if I count you individually and you individually, then Hashem is going to look at you individually and you will be judged individually. And not that many people can stand the glare of God's stare. They'd much rather be anonymous in the big picture of the Jewish people, and that way we can kind of, you know, hide behind. I remember there's a story, I don't know if it's true, and I don't know anyone who, even on Purim, had the guts to ask any of the two main players if it's true. Although probably anyone, theoretically other people at the time can ask. But they say, once upon a time, that when our Salvation Shir was Mamish in its heyday, and he wasn't just the greatest Magid Shir in the world, he was also ferocious and had unbelievable demands on the Talmidim and would yell at them if they didn't know things. So they used to make the point, again, I don't know if it's literally true, but they used to say that Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Schechter would like be sitting in the front, and you'd have 25 or 30 other guys sitting single file right behind them. So no one could see, you know, and if Rav Schechter bent over to tie his shoe, you had 10 guys behind him going, you know, no one wanted to be seen. No one wanted the Rav to see them. So it's a similar thing here, you know, we don't want Hashem to look at us too carefully. We'd rather hide behind everybody else. So if we do a count, then it's as if we're being looked at either way. But Rashi says it's an issue of Ayin Hara, and Rashi alludes to something, which we'll get to in a moment, Kosh Vatinu B'yamei David. But just bottom line from, I would say Parshat Chasav, because we're going to see some other Parshat Chasav references in a minute, but from the Torah itself, we see these two references, both in Parshat Kisisa, and again now in Sefer Bamidbar, where there's an issue of counting, the Jews are counted, as a way of showing Hashem's love, but apparently even though counting the Jewish people is an act of love, it's an act of love which is fraught with danger. If you do it the wrong way, it could be bad news for the Jews. That's why, to avoid the problems, in both cases we have this model of using a shekel, of counting something, and not people. Now there's two Gemaras in Shas that deal with this topic. One is the Gemara Sefer Brachos, and the other is the Gemara in the Sefer Yuma. And each one of them has something to teach us. I want to use those to analyze the Gemaras and see what we get from them, number one. Number two, I want to discuss ways in which it becomes mutter to count. So right now we have the shekel. We'll have to see if there are other ways to count, counting body parts as opposed to people. What about what I grew up with? Not one, not two, not three. What about sukkim? You know, hoshkias amecha. We've all heard of these things. Where does it come from? Is it really legitimate? What's required? That's a big issue which we'll get to. And then the last thing, if time permits, I want to discuss the shiloh, which is relevant in particular living in modern day Israel, which is an issue on a national level of a census. Israel, like every other country, periodically needs to take a census. And from the earliest times in the state of Israel, when that was occurring, there was always the tumult among the poskim, is it permissible? Again, not necessarily that the Misrach HaPnim was going to listen. Shaila is it permissible for you or I to participate, to fill out the form, to be counted? Because obviously, as the Torah implies, if there would be a plague, it wasn't just on Moshe Rabbeinu or Aaron who were counting. Obviously, the plague would be on everybody. So it's clearly an Isra on everybody, not just to count, but to be counted. So the question is, how do you function in a modern state where you need a census? And that's the game plan. So the first Gemara is going to set the brachos. And like the Gemara we'll see from Yuma, the Gemara brachos as well introduces a number of different sukkim or stories from Tanakh, which this issue seems to constantly pop up. So the Gemara brachos starts with a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, in which David presented his saga with Shaul HaMelech. Basically says to Shaul, listen, I don't understand why you hate me so much. You know, if it's something I did, so let's make up. And he says, and if Hashem is a sitcha, Hashem has incited you against me, I'll bring a mincha, whatever that means, I must be chayev for something, so I'll do kapara for Hashem, but you can leave me alone. So Gemara says that Hashem got very upset. It wasn't a nice way, you know, there's a nicer way to say, Shaul, is the reason you're upset at me because Hashem told you to be upset at me? That's a nicer way than saying, did Hashem incite you against me? So Hashem got insulted, so to speak, by this. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid, Masis? Really? You call me a Masis? Negative connotation. So you know what? Okay. I can live up to that. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Harani Machshilcha BeDavar, I am going to one day in the future, not at that moment, trip you up on something BeDavar Shafilu Tunegva Shabes Rabban Yodino. So I'm going to trip you up on something that even little children know. Dechsin, we have a pasuk in Shmos, Parak Lamed, which we saw, Kisisa Zerfuzel Kudehem, namely we have to do Kofar Nafshu, we have to count by using a Matzis HaShekel, and yet, at the same time, in the Divrei HaYomim it tells us, V'yamad Satan al Yisrael, that somehow in the Divrei HaYomim version, somehow the Satan al Yisahara incited David, or it's the Hashem himself directly, whatever that means. But as a result, either way, we see later on in Shmuel Bet what happened. Again, the Lashon of Yassas, the Lashon of Masis, that David was incited. To do what? He told Yoav, count the Jewish people. Right? And Sukkim there, Yoav didn't want to, but in the end, Yoav had to listen. David mouths the king. He did count the Jewish people. There was no intermediary. It was a direct count. And as a result, Hashem got upset at him, and there was a plague, and Hashem Boshe got, David got punished. That's when a very famous Sukkim. Because then David was able to told to pick what his punishment would be. No good options. Very famous parshios in Tanakh. But what do we see from this Gemara? We see an example in Tanakh where David HaMelech did the opposite, in essence, of what Moshe had done in the Midbar. He counted without using any kind of intermediary, a direct count, and apparently was terribly punished. Now, kind of a side point, but it becomes important in the Rishonim, is this whole idea of Hashem somehow inciting him, or the Satan inciting him. Now, whatever that means, it doesn't mean that he didn't have a chirpachis. So, whether it was somehow he got the instinct, it looked appealing to him, whatever the reason was, a number of Mefarshim, and particularly the Ramban, are bothered. The Gemara makes a point almost too well. I'm going to make you forget, David HaMelech, something that even little children know they can't do. So, Taka's a good question. How could David forget? How could David make this mistake? Especially with the Pesukim, Yahweh is telling him, don't do it, don't do it. It's a Pesuk in Chumash, everyone knows the story, Machzis HaShekel. Tinoko Shabbos Rabban, said the Gemara. How could it be? So the Ramban and our Parsha is a big, big essay on this. And the Ramban offers three answers to the question. Number one, says the Ramban. Rachoku etzli, it's just impossible for me to believe. Shelo yizhar yizahar David bana she'amar hakasuv. It can't be that David counted directly. It can't be. It seems to be pashuk shat in the Navi. Can't be pashuk shat in more brachos. Can't be, says the Ramban. Right? I think I may have mentioned to you in the past. That, I remember years ago, and I was probably only a year or two older than you. I remember hearing once in Shira Rosenzweig say that pshat does not mean the easiest explanation or the literal explanation. Pshat means the most plausible explanation, given whatever other assumptions you're making about the sugya. So if something that seems to be the literal or simple reading, for you, because of whatever your shita is impossible, So obviously that's not the pshat. And whatever alternative you're giving is not a difficult pshat, it's the only pshat, because pshat in the simple sense, not just in the little sense. So here also the Ramban says it doesn't matter what it seems to be from the Gemara, it doesn't seem to be from the Navi. Rachel Kuasli, it's impossible for me to believe that David Melech did it. So we have to reread the Gemara, have to read the Pesukim, because it's impossible otherwise. So what did happen? If David HaMelech counted with the coin with Matzah Shekel, how come Taka there was a plague? So he explains, Ba'avor Sheman Am Shelo Letzorech. That was the mistake. There was no good reason to count. Counting is a dangerous thing. And even if you're going to use the Shekel, still you're playing with fire. Therefore, says Ramban, David HaMelech's mistake was he counted when there was no reason to count. Wasn't there going to no purpose. Rather, he says, it was about to go out to war, or you need to know your troops. He wasn't doing anything else important at that time. Right? The king feels good if he knows he has how many millions of subjects. That's not legitimate. The difference is Ramban, even though he counted indirectly, it was shalom tzara. Without a legitimate reason, let alone mitzvah, he can't do it. That's a very, very significant shita of the Ramban. Now the truth is that this is both in the Tosfos Rid, in the Gemara Yuma, the Gemara we'll see in a few moments. It's in the Radak on Shmuel Bet. And the Makor for everyone is a Medrash. There's a Medrash Rabba in Bamidbar Rabba, Parsha Beis. Basically says, David HaMelech counted, Shelo Letzorech. And as we're going to see, when we get through to the last end of the Ramban, it's not going to be at all so simple, but from here it would come out, according to the Ramban, if you will, Halacha L'maisa, even if you're counting for a legitimate purpose, even if you're counting for a mitzvah, it's still only mutter if you count in an indirect way. We'll have to see, I hope, will be time. Are there other indirect ways? Is the Matzah Shekel the only way, or are there other ways? But it has to be indirectly, even if there's a good reason. Yeah?
Is that
the Ramban assumes here that David counted indirectly, but yet he still was punished because there was no reason to count at all. But it comes out from this answer of the Ramban, and the other Rishonim and the Medrash that agree, that you need two things going for you if you don't want to get the plague. One is you have to count indirectly, and number two is you better be counting for a good bona fide reason. Second answer of the Ramban, which is not really picked up by anybody else, I don't want to dwell on it too much, Ramban says that David HaMelech counted from everyone from Bar Mitzvah and up. Yet the Pasuk in the Chumash tells us you can only count from 20 and up. What's so magical about 20? What's so bad about 13? Ramban doesn't get into it. But bottom line is that Ramban, in his second answer, again, Rachel Kletzli, of course David counted with the Matzah Shekel. But again, he got it wrong. First answer says, because he had no good reason. Second answer says, these are just rules of the game. The rules are you got to count people only from 20 and above. David, and you look in the Pasuk in Navi, as Ramban is Madaik, never says anything about Ben Esrim. So it says Kalish. Kalish means from 13 and above. So David thought, what could be wrong about that? There's no explicit Yisr, he got that wrong. Kamash Malon, you see from the Pasuk, from the Gemara, for whatever the reason, 20 and above is the only one. Then comes Ramban in the third answer, you see at the bottom, Al-Das Medrash Agada. I don't know why he refers to the Gemara as a Medrash Agada, but he says the simple understanding, everything he said until now was simple for him because the simple pshat in the Gemara was, as he put it, Rachaku. It was impossible. One chance, two chances. Now the Ramban gets to the third answer, and he just puts down his, he puts down his defenses, and he says, or we can just go back to the Pasha in the Gemara. What's up? Pasha Pshat in the Gemara? Shehayu Shavim in Mamish. He counted directly. Tohu Kulam, and everyone made a mistake. Is it impossible? Maybe not. Maybe he really did it. And I'd like to add, I think, that you have to understand, even though he's very concise and a little bit vague here, but it seems to be clearly to me, what the Ramban is alluding to in this third answer, is the only answer he gives if you go back to the Ramban on Shmos. If you go back to the Ramban on Kisisa, he also mentions David HaMelech. And there he just, it's a much shorter presentation in terms of this point. But on this point he says something else. He says, Mipnei shalon is parish tan, im haya mitzvah l'imhi, excuse me, mitzvah l'doros, l'shah, l'moshe b'midbar, ta David amano ostam b'lo shkolim. So here the Ramban adds a missing piece. The Ramban in Bamidbar in our parsha is saying, Rachel Kvesi, how could David HaMelech have made a mistake? It's a Pashup Shat in the Chumash, it's a Beferish Pasuk. So the third answer is, apparently according to Gemara he did. But still we're left with this nagging point that the Ramban kind of made a second guess ourselves. Like, how could it be? How you thought that? Here the Ramban gives a lumdus for David. And that is that if you look in the Pasuk in Kisisa, it never says it's also the Dori Doros. It just told Moshe and Aaron not to count directly, but they had to use a shekel. So David HaMelech came along with them. We can say, who is it? A din l'doros? Or maybe, who knows, this reason, that reason, other reason. Maybe it was only for Moshe Rabbeinu. And it was a safek, it wasn't clear. It's not a fairish in the puzzle. It doesn't say, that shalt not count ever. It doesn't say that. It just says Moshe was told that. So therefore he made that mistake. Kamash Malan, obviously we see from the Gemara, we see from the fact that there was a plague, Hashem was upset at him. He got that one wrong. But it was a more understandable mistake. Three answers in the Ramban. We're going to leave away the second one and the middle one, and we'll talk about just the first and the last. And we'll call that the Rambanian Shmos answer. The first answer was, in the Chanami he counted with the Mas of the Shekel. But he had no good reason, therefore it was also. The third answer is, he didn't count indirectly. He did not count indirectly. Double negative, I mean to say, he counted directly. David Melch, he did what Shefosher also. He had a good reason, he was confused, he thought it was only wasn't Doros, but the bottom line, what we take from it, is that he counted the wrong way. However, Licha Ora, it's not just two different answers, the Ora is a big nafkin there. Because the third answer, which is also the answer that Ramban gave at Shmos, doesn't say anything about a better reason, a worse reason, legitimate, not legitimate. One could plausibly argue from this Ramban, meaning the third answer in our parsha, the only answer in Bamidbar, that, as long as you do it indirectly, it's even mutter shalom asorah. Which is another way of saying the two answers seem to be arguing over what's the ikr matir. Is the ikr matir that you counted for a good purpose, and by the way, of course it still has to be indirectly. That's the first answer, the Rambam, the Medrash, and others. This answer seems to be just focusing on one thing. Did you count directly or indirectly with the shekel? And as long as you count it indirectly with the shekel, maybe it's even mutter for no good reason. Even though David had no good reason, but that wasn't the problem, the no good reason. The problem was that he didn't count with the shekel. Lo yitzuyer, had he counted with the shekel, even for no good reason, you get the impression from the third answer in the Ramban, from what he said in Shmos, it would have been mutter. It seems to be machlokes aposkin, not so much out of paskin, although there is, but even which of the answers of the Rambans is the ikr. The Sridi Yesh has a tshuva, which we'll get back to, I hope, by the end of this year. The Sridi Yesh assumes, l'chumra, that the first answer in the Ramban is his main answer. The Shevet Alevi, Rav Wozner, he has a tshuva in Chelek Aleph, Simin Lama Dalid, where he assumes that the Ramban, on a personal level, is the third answer. That's his last one, that's the one he only mentions in Shmos. But that's his third answer, which would come out a big kula. Which could come out a big kula. You still have to decide what counts as indirect, but you don't have to worry about the Torah according to that answer. Now, I want to clarify again, I'm not saying that Rav Wozner would paskin that way, because there are all these other Rishonim, where Wozner calls the first sheet the Radak Shita. You know, because that's only, you could have called it the Tosas Rid Shita, you could have called it the Medrash Shita, but he calls it the Radak Shita. But unlike the Sridi Yesh, who assumes that the Iker Ramban also holds that way, he seems to assume, he doesn't say this directly as I'm saying it, but when he talks about the Rishonim, he quotes the Ramban, he only quotes the third answer, as if he didn't know about the other ones. Of course he did, so that's what I'm saying. Clearly he assumed that Ramban thought that the third answer was the main one. Now, this is what comes out of, and obviously again, the Nafkaminas and how this would apply to us, the wheels in your head should be turning already. But let's pause that for a second. Let's go to the second Gemara in Shas, and that's the Gemara in Yuma. Some of you who learned Yuma in the Gemara, or at least if you've done the Mishnayos, you know that the Mishnayos, some of the best Mishnayos there in the second parak, talk about the Kohanim and how they used to fight to get the rights when it was their turn in the Beis HaMikdash, and they used to have races, and they, some guy tripped some guy on the ramp, and he fell off, and he got hurt, he got killed, and they realized that this wasn't going well. So basically, they had to come up with a whole other system. But the Mishnah there does say that there used to be races. It's just a fascinating picture in the Beis HaMikdash. Kohanim races, Get your popcorn and watch Kohanim races at 2. Anyway, so what if there's a tie? Right? They couldn't go to the videotape. You know what I mean? You couldn't beat them by a nose. So, let's say they would look like a tie. What would they do? They would figure out a way to decide. Or let's say at subsequent times when they didn't even have the races. So how would they decide? They would say, who wants to do this avodah? Well, say, seven Kohanim came forward. They had a system which the Mishnah describes where people used to basically put out their thumbs, and basically the Kohen would be in charge, would basically come up with a number, whether it was 12, 18, I don't know, 142, I don't know if it mattered, and then you put out your thumbs, and he'd count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and whichever person's thumb he landed on, we got to the number, that's the guy who got to do the job. And the Mishnah refers to that as a kind of a go rope. So the Gemara here in Yuma talks about this idea. Hotziu etzbo seichem l'minyan, right? Put out your fingers and we'll do the count. Right, the Gemara, minyan ninhu l'dinhu. What are we counting thumbs for? Let's just count the people. What kind of weird thing is this? So the Gemara says, oh, this is silent of Yitzchak. Oh, Yitzchak, Oser limnos es Yisrael. Afilu l'dbar mitzvah. You're not allowed to count Jewish people, period, even for a mitzvah. V'chsin. What's going to be surprising about this? What pasuk is not quoted? The Mark quotes, Shmuel Aleph, a pasuk which we have not seen yet, it's a pasuk from Shaul HaMelech. He counts them with Bezek. So some of Farshim say Bezek means it's a place, that he counted them in that place, at Bezek. But Chazal, the mainstream approach, the one that the Gemara is fully assuming, Rashi quotes, is that it refers to as a shard of clay. So you see, it doesn't have to be just a matzah shekel to be a shard of clay, but you see, oh, they counted with something indirectly. Why does Shaul HaMelech do such a funny thing, even though he's going out to war, and that's a Mechamas Mitzvah? Oh, you see, that even for a mitzvah, it's also to count Jews. The Gemara asks a question, maybe that's not a raya. The Gemara says, okay, I'll give you a second pasuk. What's the second pasuk? A few trucks later, also from Shaul HaMelech, we're there, he counted with Shlaim, with sheep. He was very generous. Shaul was good times. He gave the people from his own sheep, if I remember correctly. So it didn't cost them so much, but it doesn't matter. The point is, everyone had to bring the sheep, and then he counted the sheep. That's how many he knew there were. Oh, so you see a second example. And then the Gemara concludes, I'm Rebbe Lozer, Kolomones Yisrael, Ogre Belah. Again, what pasuk would we expect the Gemara to quote? Yet the Gemara quotes Pesukim, completely new ones for us, from Hosea. Right, where Hashem described the Jewish people as being counted, and this from Bnei Israel, Kechol Hayam, they can't even be counted, they're like the dust of the beach, of the sand. So we always think that means that the Jewish people are going to be manifold and multiple and huge, which is usually how we do understand that. Yet here the Gemara clearly understands it means not just that you can't count them because there's too many, you're not allowed to count them. And then the Gemara says, maybe it's not just one of them, maybe there's two, because the pasuk concludes and doesn't just say lo yimar, but also says lo yisafer. You can't count them, look, a double lashon, you can't count them. It's one of them, it's two of them. Oh. So what do we get from this Gemara and Yuma? So one thing we get from the Gemara and Yuma is, in direct, unambiguous, it's usher to count Jews. The Gemara of Brachos didn't say anything that direct. It just told a story about how David and Melech got punished for counting. Didn't say it was usher. Gemara and Yuma said it's usher. Yeah, that's an important contribution. However, what's surprising, as I've already indicated, surprising is that the Gemara quotes 3-4 psukim, all from Navi, to establish his isser, somehow forgetting that there's something called Chamisha Chumshei Torah. What happened to the pasuk Kishmos Kisisa? What happened to the pasuk in our parsha? You know, what's going on? So happens to be there are some of Farshim who say that in Echanami the Isra is only the Dibre Kabbalah. There are some who say that. But it's not the pasuk shot, but what do you know, how do you understand this? So I think perhaps the answer relates to the upshot, you could say, at least one answer. There's at least three answers that I saw. If you take a look, if you're familiar with any Rav Asher Weiss's farim, so the Minchas Asher on the Sefer Bamidbar, the first piece, Siman Aleph, is on this topic. So he collects, it's a fifth of his essays on that question. Why the Gemara Yuma quoted Pesukim in Novi and not Pesukim in the Torah as the source? So he quotes, I think it was three or four answers in that Pronim. I think one of those answers I mentioned to you works really well with the Rambam and others when they learn up this Gemara. The Rambam in the Perish HaMishnayis says very explicitly, very succinctly, he broadens this idea, not just talking about the Kohanim, but in general, anything that's Bar Mitzvah, it's still Usur. And in Mishnah Torah, the Rambam passes this Halacha. The Rambam tells about the whole system in the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Rambam is kind of a weird, kind of a funky Rambam. He doesn't just explain things. He kind of asks the question, you know, because it seems a little weird if you don't know any better. It's the Gemara's question, but as you and I both know, the Rambam doesn't usually quote the Gemara's question and answer. He just usually quotes the answer. But here the Rambam mamish quotes the Gemara's question. The answer is the Gemara's answer. And he quotes again the Rambam, the pasuk by Shaul HaMelech. See, the Shaul counted the sheep, and he didn't count the people. But again, you see from this Rambam, you see, again, I mentioned this also in Perash HaMishnayos, where it's even explicit, but it's written in the Gemara, even Lidvar Mitzvah, it is Oster. So I saw that Rav Asher Weiss quoted from Iyun Yaakov. Iyun Yaakov is a parish written by Rav Yaakov Reicher. You could ask if he's related. Probably not. Rav Yaakov Reicher. I had Reichers in my community of Baltimore. I don't remember if they were related. But anyway, he's more famous for his tshuvas called the Shluth Yaakov. But he wrote a parish on Gemara called Iyun Yaakov, which I don't know if you can find it in Independence Day there. But if you look at the collection of Agadata called the Ein Yaakov, so there's a number of Perushim on Ein Yaakov, one of them is the Iyun Yaakov. So there on the Sefer Yuma, he quotes that this idea, which the Rambam in particular is crystallizing, says this is really the reason why the Gemara quoted those Tzokim. Because he says that it's not clear from the Gemara, excuse me, from Tzokim and Shmos, that it's even Asur L'Dvar Mitzvah. There was no mitzvah there. Hashem just said, take a census of the Jews, told Moshe, take a census. Wasn't Tzorach mitzvah? The Tzorach that Hashem shows he loves people, like Rashi says, Machavavam, that's not a mitzvah. But in the Navi, the Melech is about to go to war. He needs to know how many soldiers he has. That's the Tzorach mitzvah. And yet you see that even then he counted with the Bezek, he counted with the Tzlaim, Kamash, Maman. How do you think the Rambam knew this? How do you think the Gemara knew this? That even the Bar Mitzvah is also to count. That's not in the Chumash. That's only in the Navi. Now, Rav Asher Weiss himself didn't like this. He says, I don't understand. If Hashem tells you to do something, that's the definition of a mitzvah. You know, why is it that you need to have some other motivation that's also a good thing?
The Torah account without being directed. The Yitzhak itself before it was the Yitzhak was...
Right, I like the Yitzhak. That's why I'm mentioning it to you. But Rav, I'm just telling you, full disclosure. Rav Asher Weiss is mefakpik a little bit on it. But hey, the bottom line is, this is how we paskin, as we'll develop in a few moments. And I just thought it's nice. I didn't want to. I wasn't so interested in as he is in his piece. But four other answers, or three other answers about the this Gemara, why this pasuk, not that pasuk, but not that particular answer of the Iyun Yaakov, I thought it's sharp, not only as an explanation, but it really dovetails with what the Rambam and others really take out of this Gemara and Mamash Paskin. And we're going to see that's going to develop, since the most common time, but there's two most common times where we have to worry about the Shaila, right? Which are basically the two things we should be doing in life, either in the Beis Knesset or in the Beis basketball court. Right? When you're about to play sports, you have to count up. And when you're looking for a minion, you have to count up. So, at least the basketball court is a suffix mitzvah. Especially your kavanas, maybe, and, you know, it's hard to, I don't want to give up that. I'm not saying body not a mitzvah, but I can't say body is a mitzvah either. It's a tough call for me. But the davening, you know, that's a tzarach mitzvah. So, and yet we all know this, not one, not two, or whatever we do. So how do we know that we can't do that? So it's from this Gemara, and it's from the fact that Gemara quoted the Pesukim in Navi. Yin Yaakov is very sharp in that regard. Yeah.
How did it quote from the Torah, though? There's no real lock in the Torah itself.
That's exactly what Yin Yaakov is saying. In Echanami. The other Mefarshim, the Marsha, for example, is the first one to ask the question. The Marsha is the first one to ask the question. And the Marsha says no. He says, I don't know, for sure it's Usher. He thinks that, you know, again, what the Ramban said in Shmos, that Dovra Melech had a Havavina only maybe once, but not with Doros. But you see, Kamash Malan, the fact that David HaMelech was punished, oh, apparently it is Usher. Others say, who said it's Usher? Maybe it's just dangerous. This is an aside. Rav Zalman Chaim Yagoberi has a piece in a journal where he mentions, I didn't put it in, and I'm not sure I understand really what his proof is, but I just tell you what he says. He says there's no Isser per se to count. But he takes so seriously and so literally the danger of counting that Mamela is usher to count because it's usher to endanger yourself. That's what Rav Zalman coming over. I saw it in a journal. In the Kovet Space Iron Yisrael, that's the Carlin Stolen Torah Journal. That's an amazing Kiddush. So just like it might be usher to, you know, go skydiving or, you know, jump off bungee jumping or whatever else. I'll stop now while I'm ahead. Because what other things you guys like to do? I don't need a bad guy telling you it's all osur. You can call the rabbis for that. Smoking, which I'm sure, of course, you don't do because it's osur because you can't endanger yourself. It says on the chem, you can't count because you can endanger yourself. Anyway, but the bottom line is, it's a good point. It's a good point, but it seems to me that's the assumption. Whether it's in different kahala, different rabbanon, meet me to raisa, what the level is, that's not so clear. But other than maybe Rav Zamnachem, or maybe one or two others, who seem to say also maybe torn of minog, it's just a bad thing, avoid the plague. But others seem to assume that it's really a direct anus. So let's focus now on practically how this relates to us and minyan and other places. And then again, I want to mention that I just think it's so interesting, the issue which, you know, the modern state Israel has to contend with, the issue of the census. So the Magen Avraham, a very well-known and important piece, Rav Magen Avraham in Arachayim, Mitzvah Kuf Nun Vav, says, Aser Limnos Yisrael, period. Afilu Ein Mechavein Limnos Rakhtach Begorah. Even if you're not counting, like in the Yuma case, with the Kohanim and the thumbs, looking to find out how many Kohanim there were. It was a way of basically figuring out who's going to win. It was like a Goro. It was like a lottery, a system. So it's still Aser. Afilu with Bar Mitzvah. It's still Aser. So what do you do? Lamaisa, in life sometimes you got to count. If there are dinim like minyan, which obviously require 10 people, so obviously the Torah wants us to know how to count, right? It can't be that we only can daven in the Chazor HaShad if we have enough people in the room where someone could just guesstimate there's a minyan. Obviously the assumption is we can count. So how do we do it? So the Magen Avraham just says without any, you know, no need for any kunsim, any creativity, any originality, so it's simple, just go to the Gemara. What is it in Yuma? Motzi nefoseihem, umon nefoseihem. Stick out your thumbs. Anyone ever do that in shul? Next time, right? Next time, whether it's here or maybe when you get back, you know, in the summer, just, you know, when you're at that mincha, you know, when you're that early mincha minyan, you know, the young Israel of fill in the blank. You know, we're trying to see how many people we have. Just say, dude. And they go, what? Yeah, you know, like we're on Yuma. Anyway, okay, wrong. Come on. Anyway, that's one shot. A second way to do it, so is the issue of the psukim. So the most well-known idea of the psukim, in which Pasuk to quote, is a much more recent source, but it's a more well-known source. But I found today, quoted in some svarim that they dug up, that Rashi has a comment. There are a number of svarim which are probably not so well-known to you, not so well-known to most people, which were written, I don't know if they were literally written by Rashi, but they're written Medrashosha Rashi, from Rashi's Talmidim, and they include his psukim and his hanhagos. There's a famous one called the Machzor Vitri, Sefer HaPardes. Those are probably two more well-known. So there's one that's even less well-known called the Sefer HaOra. So the Sefer HaOra, in the laws of Shabbos, so he's talking about like how many people you need to, you know, get to create a Torah and a half Torah, which of course you need a minyan Torah. So the Sefer HaOra of Rashi says, how do you figure out how to count? What do you do? The Osir Limnos Afilu Bar Mitzvah, like Rambam had told us also, and it seems to be, it's already implied in the Gemara in Yuma. Pasach, you should do the following. You should start off by saying Chad for the first person, Va'ani. For the second person, Berov. For the third person, Chazdecha. Obo. Beisecha. Take a look at that pasach, look it up. That's 10 words. Says Rashi, that's how you count people. Just read off a pasach, do a roll call of a pasach, let word by word, and you'll get to 10. And you'll finish it, Chad Mashli Mehai Psika, when you finish that pasach. Al high sitter, you do it in the order. Yogu, you'll know. Zikah, sorry, another 10 people. If you turn over the page, you see the most famous example of this, and this is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says the same thing, and he says, "What's our minog? Of nosem by miras apasuk, koshias amecho, barachas nachasecha, etc. Ashiyeshbo asara tables." And there are others. I think of Avadia and one of his shuvas, and of Usher Weiss in that piece. They give explanations like deeper, like machshava and mystical reasons. What the idea of dafik counting by a pasuk is, or dafik quoting by this pasuk. After all, counting can bring a magefa. So if we count by a pasuk, it says, Hoshia samecha, save your people. It's a very sharp way of avoiding the problem. So that's approach number two, which is probably the most well-known approach, which is using a pasuk. Number three, interesting little ha'ara, though, just in case people might make a mistake. What about the following? Can you go aleph, bet, gimel? I didn't count. Aleph, bet, you know, just like I've been saying a pasuk, I'm just, you know, aleph, bet, gimel.
I've heard it
done. Aleph, bet, gimel, aleph, right?
I've heard it done before. Oh. That's not a raya, though.
So pull out the kafachayim next time. Who quotes the Torah, the chesed, the Torah, or something like that. I'll type that right. He quotes some other akhwar, and then he quotes the prefarosh. who say the following, Rabim Toim. They make a mistake. Umonim Alfez Gimel. This is a great line. The Mashmal Huta Isr Hu Lomar Umo Dos. It was worth coming today. You owe me one, boys. Uno Dos. People think that the only Isr is to count one, two. Pirish, in case you don't know Uno Dos is. You didn't see Sesame Street ever? Echo Shayim. But maybe if I'm just going to use the Hebrew, Rashi Kedis, it'll be water. It's a mistake. Rather, what should you do though? It's a big chumrah he has. B'maris ha'ayin v'yimnu machshava. You should look around and you can take a mental note. You can count one. Just don't articulate. Make a mental. You can count b'machshava. The Tzitzal Yad has a tshuva where he says that some people even mefatik on that. But I think most folks can agree with this Kapachayim, the Prichadar, the Tarah Lechesed, Chasna Torah, whoever else is quoting, that it's mutter to count bit machshava. Now he seems to be machbid, l'chaura, he says you have to do that, but does it mean he doesn't hold the pasuk? It's hard to believe he doesn't hold the thumb, the thumbs is a Gemara. So I don't know, I don't know. And even if he is machmir, we're not machmir. Right, so that's a third option, right? If you're not so good with the pesukim, and the thumb thing didn't work because the guys just think you're, flipped out from Israel or something, but it's a new chumrah, so you have to put up your thumb. So instead, if you're still, you can just look around and listen, especially for a minion, I think we can all count our head to 10. That's another way of doing it. One second, if you don't mind, just quickly, what about writing? Right? What if instead of counting in my, I'm going to check off each person. Either I could even with a number, one, but I'm not saying anything, and I'm not pointing at you, I'm not saying anything, I'm just writing, one, b'chsav, it's a mutter b'chsav. So this is a major machlokes haposkim. There are a number of mekilin, and one of the places where this came up as a major tshuva, which I didn't put on your sheet, although it's alluded to, and what I did put on the sheet, there's a tshuva of the Chasam Sofer in the Likutim, or in the later collection, the Kovetz tshuvos, my version on the Bar Ilan. It was Simon Ches, and it's a tshuva that he wrote to the author of the Pasa Shulchan, who was one of the Talmidim Hamufakim of the Gra. I'm not mistaken, I believe he was one of those Talmidim who came there to Yisrael, with Aliyah, Talmid HaGra. The Sefer Pasa Shulchan is all in Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, from that base Medrash. And he was a contemporary of the Chasam Sofer. So they had a discussion, if you have one of these, like, the Gabayim have like a town roll call, where you have the people who are misnade, who give donations, the people who need tzedakah, you have all of their names, so he wanted to know, can you figure out, Gottlieb has six, and Rosenberg has four, and if it's all just, you're not counting anybody, you're the Gabbai sitting alone with the book, but could you use on the margins, could you tabulate the number of people in the shtetl, the number of people who are getting money, receiving money, whatever you're trying to count. So the Baal, the Pas HaShulchan, held it was mutter. So he gave a few reasons. One is he says it flips over. It's a good reason. And this is indirect, not even counting the people. The people aren't anywhere near here. And he also said, one of the things he says also is, that's b'chsav. B'chsav should be mutter too. So he has for sure, I think, one of the earliest who gave that b'chsav. Other people, including Rav Avad Yosef, have quoted this idea, who are also mekel on the idea of b'chsav. Rav Asher Weiss in that piece thinks it should be mutter. But the Chasam Sofer, his son, the Chasam Sofer, quotes it as well. They hold that it is usher. For the sake of time, I don't want to read it on inside to you now and give you the proofs. But he's medayik, and here and there, he has a proof. It's interesting. We have this tshuva that he wrote to the Baal Pasa Shulchan. The Ksav Sofer, who probably didn't know about that tshuva, perhaps, he says, I discovered in my father's Rabbi Kiva, in my father's notes, he wrote on the side next to Rabbi Kiva Eger, in the margin, he wrote the following notes, the Gilyon Tshuva Zikni, because Rabbi Kiva Eger is the grandfather. Imagine, it's nice to be the Ksav Sofer, right? The father, the grandfather. So I see that my father wrote in his notes in the margins of the Zaydis Tshuvas, and there the Chasam Sofer makes this point again, which he also made to the Pasa Shulchan in his Tshuva, Simchas, that he holds it even the Ksav in Asr. Some people want to be machmir like this, but certainly many great folks of our generation are makel. Yeah. So I'm going
to ask you about pointing that you mentioned earlier.
Right. Okay. So now, one thing for sure. So we saw four things that are maybe mutter. A pasuk, thumbs, of course a shekel, we could say, a shard of clay, any object, thinking and writing. So what's one thing we didn't mention?
Not one,
not two, not three. And I think the reason is because it's all of Bubba Meister. It's Usser. I think it's a big scam. I think it's a big mistake. What's the difference? There's nothing magical, as the Papa Chaim said about Uno Dos. It's certainly no better than Aleph Beis. They're not add nothing. By the way, as an aside, I think, even though the minhag is not like what I'm going to tell you, why I think writing G-D is also worthless. Because the word God, G-O-D, is not Hashem's name either. It's a kinyan for Hashem. So if the kinyan became G-D, the O is not kadosh. I don't think it's any better or worse than the dash.
Don't some people say that there's a problem with saying that Levatola, even in whatever language?
I don't know. I'm not talking about Levatola now. I'm writing something. That's not Levatola. But anyway, the point is, I think Rav Sheffler quotes it the wrong felt this way, but I think it's ready to go back to Chassam Sofer. There's not clear on God. Anyway, just as an aside, I'm just saying, you know, it's a totally arbitrary thing. Not one, not two. That's one and two. What's the difference? I was looking for someone. I even sent out an email to a rabbi who was a friend of mine. Do you know anything about this not one, not two? So he found for me a piece on the internet from the Chicago Community Kollel. They quoted the two of the big poskim in Chicago. One is Rabbi Zucker, who's the Rosh Kollel of the Lakewood Kollel there. Another is Dying First, who's a good Dying in Chicago, who both, at least whoever was writing this article, asked them, and they both agreed with what I always thought. But then not one, not two things, ridiculous. Of course that's Usher. So I'll give you four ways, but not a fit. Let's just finish, I don't want to hold you too long. Let's just finish with the last piece, which is the issue of the modern day census. So this 3-day age, I believe, was the first who was asked this kasha. Well, one of the first I could find. The 3-day age was asked the shaila, can the modern state of Israel have a census? Can we participate in the census, whether they have it or not? Or can we participate in it? Says the 3-day age, yes, it is mutter. And he gives a number of reasons, but the basic reason that the 3-day age gives is two things, really. One is it's indirect. I'm just filling out a form. Back in the office, they're going to count the form, but I fill out a form. Husband, wife, four kids, blah, blah, blah. Great. Second of all, he says, this is an important point, getting back to how we began the shir from the Ramban. What did the Ramban say to Dovid HaMelech? What was his big mistake? What is it, Usser? When he bring a plague?
For no purpose.
The census for the age. There's a big tzarech. The government needs to know how many people and where they're living, in which neighborhoods. That's how they allocate resources. Census for the age, it doesn't make any sense to me. Of course it should be mutter. It's very necessary for a number of reasons. And he gives you the reasons. The Memshalah needs to know this. He just says, even so, we see from the Ramban, remember we said the Ramban of the Chumrah, that even when it's Kutsarah, it still has to be indirect. Even then it has to be Ali Dei Dover Acher. He says the census forms constitute a Dover Acher. Other poskim are Mekil, Rav Avadya, I didn't put it on the sheet, Rav Avadya is a tshuva in Yavia Omer, in Rav Yosef is also Mekil. He adds the point that writing, as we saw before, writing against the Chassam Sofer, that writing is mutter by definition. Even Uvi Lolotar, writing doesn't count as counting. He says that's another sniff. Lahakel from Kasher, who is most well known as the encyclopedic genius who made the Torah Shlema, but he also has tshuva called the Divrei Menachem. He has a long tshuva where he's Mekil. He mentions all these other things. He adds the fact that in the end, nowadays, and he was writing a while ago, especially nowadays, by the time they get the information, who's counting? You? Me? No! A machshev, some computer is counting. So who did the Isser? The computer did the Isser. I don't know if that's the most compelling thing. You could say it's the guy who put it into the computer, the guy who hit enter, to turn on the button. I don't know, but I'm just giving you the information. He has the idea of a computer. There are a number of machmirim. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that Stifler had a letter when this first came up as an issue. But Stifler was Oser. I believe Ari Yom Hazeh, the Badatz El Charedis, told us also to participate. Rav Shturbach has a tshuva in his Sefer Tshuvos Lahanagos, where he says he holds like the Badatz, that you should also not participate. And one of the most prominent poskim, who seems to have gone through some kind of evolution, I'm not sure, is Rav Wozner. And I just, for your reference, you can see, I gave you, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think there's any other tshuvas, three tshuvas that Rav Wozner had on this topic. And by the time he gets the third one, he is at least relatively more open. In the first tshuva, he's actually not even talking directly about the census, but he does make the point, isn't it seem to be lozarech? He has this very difficult lashon, I don't know where he gets it from, but he basically says, like the Dovid HaMelech, whereas the Ramban said Dovid HaMelech was just counting for his ego to see how much people he had, so Rav Wozner says, no, mustam it was tachsisei malucha. It was the same reason we're counting. Gavin of Acha didn't see how many people he had, so he knew where to dig a well, and he knew where to do whatever. And yet, says Rav Hosner in the first Shuva, Kevu Shohei Letzorah Shel Torah, he made a new category. The only time it's put in the canon is called Letzorah Shel Torah. So there's some totally different reason. So A, I don't know where he got it from. I don't see any makor for that. And B, how do you draw the line? I'm not sure. But he's very, very restrictive. And in a similar vein, in the second Shuva, Chelek Vav, where he is talking about the census, he also ridicules it. He says, there's no way you can participate. Because mi yodea im zeh tzorech emes. It's hard to know how to define tzorech. And who says this is really a tzorech? And who knows what they're really doing with the information, why they need the information. And there he says, listen, you shouldn't give your name, or they shouldn't be counting, people. If it's going to mention other statistics, how much money do you make, and how much water do you use, and where do you live, and other statistical information which could help, that would be fine. But that you should actually count people, and he talks about how they spoke here, some of his representatives talked to the office and the Mishrat Panim, and maybe they're going to do that now, they're not going to, that part where apparently there used to be a line in the original forms, you wrote how many people in the family, or you gave a number so they could count, so maybe that, I haven't seen a census, so I don't know exactly what they look like. But it seems here that he was discussing a reality where they may have changed it, but even then he says, in Efshar lehimana mikol zeh tov yoseh, it's better just not to fill it out, not to be involved. And the final tshuva in Chelek Tes is a tshuva b'tzara, which I think was originally a letter. And he writes as like 6, 7, 8 bullet points. The first two I didn't include because they didn't really add anything that's really, really relevant. And the 2 and 3 and 4, he talks about issues which we've seen where he seems to be machmir. For example, he paskins the halacha, like the chassam and ksav sofer, that ksav is also, writing does not help you. Against that, what we said from Avadia, against from Minchas Osher, against others, he held that writing is also like the chassam sofer. He then adds the whole idea of how do you decide what's tzorech, he's not sure. Maybe it is the tzorech. But then he says, one of the things that's very important, he says, which ends up being a kula for him is, they're not counting, the Israelites to count Jews. Israel counts citizens. So we know, for an every citizen, you can be a citizen of Israel, not Jewish. First of all, you can be an Arab. Second of all, you can be a ger who's not really a ger. You think you're Jewish, but it's a bad gerus. And he holds your guy. So if a Wolfman holds your guy, and you're being counted. And even if he says in the office, they'll then distinguish that we know we have 6 million and another Jews and 1 million Arabs. So that's already later. But when you filled it out, when you were participating, so that's already statistical analysis. That's not counting. But when you had to do the counting, write your name down, says so there maybe it's mutter. Plus he says, even though they're gonna do it later, I didn't have a computer. You can check the spelling for your records. Right? Even though they're going to separate Jews and Arabs, they're going to speak in the computer, but who said the Jews are really halakhically Jews? Give other explanations, it's degenerate, it's approximate, it's not accurate, it's not precise. In the end, he says he thinks maybe this is the reason it should be Mako, as long as other Gdolim will agree with him, I can give a little lecture here. So I don't know if other people followed him or not, but here, at least in the third Shuvah, he's a little bit more open. Rav Shturbach says the fact that they're Goyim doesn't make it better. It's Adaram, it's a Bizoyim, it's Geruah, it's terrible. That's not going to make it mukhtar, it makes it horrible. Anyway, I haven't been here to the census, I don't know if you are either. My impression is many, 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 many postim are Mako. And probably the people who, and as they should, the people who generally follow the Enacharetis or generally follow Shturbach, I guess they don't participate. The people who follow many, many other postim, including Rav Avia and others, so then I assume that they do participate. But interesting to see how something which is such an old and traditional issue, which we sometimes joke about on a basketball court, or when we're waiting for a minion in the airport, or who knows what, but when it came to an issue, Adi Yamazah and the state of Israel, so that became a real issue which the postman had to apply very, very old-time halacha to very new-time reality. All right, good job.